back, and we're with James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist. He's really good at knowing all this stuff, and he told me something while we were off the air that you've got to hear about. Tell him the story about what let me go back, and I'll tell you what happened. In my backyard, there was a possum that was apparently attacked by some other critter, and I'm guessing either a dog or a coyote, and it was killed, and it was obviously killed. It wasn't playing possum. So we started talking about playing possum, and James told me some interesting things about playing possum. What does a possum do when it plays possum?
So the first thing it'll do when it feels threatened, it'll hiss, it'll growl. Yep. It might snarl or bite a little bit, but it's not, if it keeps getting pestered and pestered, eventually, yes, it will do the old famous playing dead, playing possum. And so what's happening in that process, its brain is basically overstimulated, it's too stressed out, and it produces a chemical, and this chemical does a couple things. So one thing, it basically puts it in a small coma state. And that state can last between 5 minutes to up to an hour, a little
while. Wow. They're very vulnerable at that point.
They are.
But what do they do?
So another thing they do is they will produce a nasty smell. Kind of smells like rotten eggs, at least to me it does. And when they're playing dead, so when a coyote or whoever was trying to eat them, say, oh, that smells awful. I want fresh, you know, good prey. I don't want sneaky prey. And a lot of times they'll move on.
Well, now, there are turkey vultures around here that don't seem to mind whether it stinks or not. That might be a surprise then, right?
And, you know, it's funny, turkey vultures everything in the vulture group, condors and all, they are one of the few birds that do have a sense of smell.
Oh.
But they are just so tolerant of it, it doesn't bother them.
Yeah. Now, we seem to have gotten a bunch of turkey vultures around my house lately.
Oh.
Does that mean there's something dead in the area?
So it could mean two things. Yes, something, okay. Yes, obviously could have died. The other thing is there's probably a lot of what's called thermals. And thermals are basically what I tell kids. They're like invisible tornadoes. Uh-huh. It's when warm air rises and causes that spiral rotation. And so vultures love riding thermals because that means less energy of flapping their wings. Because you ever seen a vulture, you'll see them circling, and then they move on a little bit, and then they circle. So their feathers are very sensitive to wind pressures, and they can feel those thermals.
Oh, well, that's what we were watching, four or five of them above, not right above our house, but a couple of houses down, and they were doing exactly that the other day. They were riding the thermals.
Yes.
Now, are they doing it for fun, or is there a reason that they're doing it?
I mean, they're doing it to look for food.
Keep an eye open.
Yeah, their nose open, I guess you could say.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, while we're talking about vultures, sure. There's been a lot of reports across, I don't know if it's Ohio or some of the other Midwestern states, but their cousin, the black vultures, have been getting a lot of reports of them attacking young livestock. So freshly newborn calves, sheep, goats.
Oh, I thought they only ate carrion.
So black vultures will take advantage and they will eat or they will try to attack and eat young livestock.
Oh, my.
And so turkey vultures, no, they are not as aggressive. Well, the black vultures are. Well, they think because of global climate change, black vultures like more warmer climates, and they have noticed that their range keeps going up further north. Because if you were to talk about 10, 20 years ago, saying a black vulture was here in Marion County, people would have probably laughed at you. Southern Ohio would have been probably their most northern range. But, I mean, now I'm seeing them up clear at Lake Erie, and there's probably up some parts of Michigan.
How do you know the difference between a black vulture and a turkey vulture?
So, within the name black vulture, all black body, black head, mainly all black underwings. Turkey vultures have that red, pink head. They're kind of like a brownish black color. Okay. And then if you ever look underneath their wings, especially with the right sunlight, it almost looks like they have a silver iridescence color.
The black vulture.
The turkey vulture. Okay. Yeah, the black vulture is basically
solidly black.
Huh? Complete. I mean, mostly black. Like very tip of the wing feathers. It has that little silver lining.
Is their head bald? Like a you know kind of.
Yeah, yeah. They don't
void of feathers.
Yeah, they don't have any feathers on their heads.
I hate to call anything bald, having that problem myself.
Well, you remember bald in the old English term meant white, so that's where the bald eagle got its name from.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Because of those bald caps that the British used to wear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Now, you also mentioned another critter that kind of fakes
it, like place possum.
Yeah, tell us about the hognose snake.
Yeah, yeah, eastern hognose snake. It is common here in Ohio. Unfortunately, there's not in Marion County. It's mainly southeastern, northeastern Ohio, but it's a really cool snake. It's probably one of my second favorite snake because when you come up on it, the first thing it'll do is it's going to act big and tough. It's going to puff up. It actually will inflate its head a little bit, kind of like a cobra if you've seen in books or movies. And they'll say, I'm big, I'm tough, you better stay away from me. And if you keep pestering them, they will start to flip over, and I showed Glenn a video. They are so dramatic. I'm like, oh, I'm dying. It is such a cruel world, and they'll open their mouths, and they'll lay their tongue out. They do kind of produce a musky smell, too, when they feel threatened.
They're not getting the Academy Award. They just overplay it completely. At least that one on your video did.
And I was telling Glenn, my first internship down in Kentucky, we saw them everywhere. And when I took kids on hikes, we would show them the snake, and then when he was playing dead, I would flip it over, or I would tell the kids, kids, I killed the snake, I'm so sorry. And
you were mean.
I was mean, and I flip him over, and then he flipped back over, and you know, I'm trying to play dead, and the kids are all like, oh my goodness, he's alive.
Well, now, do they bite?
I mean, they can bite, but they rarely bite.
They're not venomous, I assume.
No, they are not venomous.
Yeah. Now, there's a there's a James Taylor song that talks about a hognose snake. I can't remember it right now, but interesting. So apparently hognose snakes are also around North Carolina because that's where James Taylor talks about.
Oh, okay.
But all right, well.
Yeah, and you know what else also is pretty neat about that snake? They have a special tooth in the back of their skull, and they're specialized of eating toads. So, because you ever seen toad, you know how big and poofy they kind of are?
Yeah, yeah.
So once they engulf the toad, that tooth kind of pops them like a balloon.
Oh, my. Oh, so, that's gross.
I know, a little graphic, but.
Well, that is rated PG here. That's not available for 5-year-olds and below. So, but too late. We've already done it. Okay. Oh, I know. You were talking about the hognose snake was your second favorite.
Oh, yes.
What is your favorite snake?
It's the black rat snake.
Why?
I don't know about them.
They get pretty big, don't they?
They do. They can get up 6-7 feet long.
Yeah.
Anytime I pick one up, I just love when they wrap around and they constrict. I just love that feeling.
Well, now there were a lot down where you went to school.
Yes.
Yeah,
and there's some here in Marion County.
Are there really?
Yep. If you go towards the 3 to 5 mile marker of the trail, since it's a little bit more wooded, it's around the Epsiville area. We have reports of black rat snakes out
there. Okay, I'm not going that far then.
You know, they look bigger, they're scarier, but they are harmless. Again, they're great there for the environment because they're there to especially eat, you know, the mice and the rats and a lot of the other small mammals and birds.
Now, I have found dead mice around my garage.
Lately. Okay.
Would that be a cat that's killing them, or would that be a snake, or what would be killing them?
Is the whole body intact?
Yeah, whole body's intact.
And nothing's chewed up on them?
Doesn't seem to be, huh?
Then that sounds like they've been poisoned.
Oh, okay.
And they just ate it, and they traveled to your area, and kicked the bucket.
Well, and we did put poison out. I hate to do it, but we put it out when we found... a couple of mice that were sneaking into our house.
Oh, okay.
We did put it under our sink. So maybe that's been around. Maybe that got into that. I'm sorry, little mouse. I hate to kill animals, any animals. I avoid stepping on ants when I'm walking down the street. Anyway, this asks, are there differences of flowers from the edge of a path into the forest?
Yes, absolutely. Because every plant has a different growth requirement. You've got some that love fully shaded to partial shaded, and there's some that are love fully open areas.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then there's some that are kind of like, they can handle a little bit of everything. But it's
like my garden. There are certain plants that want full sun and some plants that want partial shade. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, I never even thought of that. Yeah.
Yep. Just like people, plants have different requirements.
Well, and I like full sun.
There you go. And not just sun, but also, you know, water requirements, you know, versus the forest is going to be a little bit more moist, you know, conditions versus the outer edge would be probably a little bit more dry since they're receiving a little bit more sunlight.
Now, this also, one of the questions in here, it talks about landscape awareness and okay. about bamboo. And bamboo. Now, didn't you tell me that there is no native bamboo?
No, there is no native bamboo.
No native bamboo. But yet you see bamboo.
Yes, and it's an ornamental plant.
But you see bamboo out away from houses.
That is probably why a critter probably grabbed the bulb, transplanted it.
Oh, it comes from a bulb.
I believe it comes from a bulb.
Oh, okay.
And I'll have to look that up. I thought it at least came from a bulb, but it's a type of grass, so I know it doesn't really seed very well.
Okay. Yeah, now I love bamboo, and I was going to put some bamboo in my backyard until you told me it was invasive.
It can be.
And I'm not going to do that. I don't want my neighbors
mad. Actually, I think it does. It does come from seed. Sorry, I was trying to think about it. Yeah.
All right. Now, some, like this lily I was talking about earlier, the secret surprise lily. It says that you can plant the seed that's in the little seed pods that they have right now.
Yeah.
But if you go to a florist or go to a nursery, you buy them in a bulb. So does the seed turn into a bulb? Or?
So what will happen over time, so the seed will start to grow, and then as the plant is coming out, then its roots will create that tuber or that bulb.
Okay. I got you. So the seed really is the very first stage of its growth. All right.
Yeah. And the tubers are basically, I guess you call like outgrowths of the root system, and then you can extract it off of those roots, and then you can plant more.
Oh, okay. Now, we are in area 6, I believe.
Yeah. 6-7, is it? I think, yeah.
Or 6 plus or something. Yeah, it's kind of at the edge, if I... correct.
Yeah.
That means that we have, well, it doesn't mean that we have anything anymore with global warming, but we're cooler than, let's say, Kentucky.
Yes.
But warmer than Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, does the number go up or does it go down as it gets colder? Do you know?
You know, I don't know.
I asked the wrong question, didn't I?
I want to say it gets higher as it gets colder. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, we'll have a gardener call in and tell us the answer. Hey, by the way, if you do want to call in, James is here. We're live.
740-383-9944.
Yeah. 740-383-9944.
Oh, do you probably want to mention about what our caller said before break about the tree lawn?
Oh, yeah. We had a caller call in as we were going to break, and he says that that area between the sidewalk and the street is called a tree lawn.
Yeah.
That's good
to know. I learned something new, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to know. Thank you for calling in, by the way, on that, because I didn't know that. Now I have a word to use, or a couple of words to use when I'm talking about that area.
Some technical words, right?
Yes, I can sound like I know what I'm talking about. Okay, what should we start to look for as the season is going to change? Are there things that are starting to change now?
Oh, yeah.
Or will it wait till, you know, late September?
Everything's always changing.
I guess you're right, yeah.
I get what you're kind of saying. So kind of from the summer to the fall transition.
Yeah, what are we looking at when we go down the tall grass trail that's going to be changing? That might be interesting.
So probably I would say in the next 2 to 3 weeks, just depending on weather, we're definitely going to be seeing changes as the temperatures are going to be cooler. As I've mentioned before, our Slithery friends will be utilizing the trail. Monarchs activity is going to be very high because
I've
of the
seen a lot of monarchs lately.
That's good. That's good. That's the third gen. So the ones that they're laying the eggs on, those are going to be the fourth gens or the fourth generations. And those are the ones that are, once they metamorphosize into adults, they're going to be heading down to Mexico. They're going
to
travel hundreds of miles. And then
they look good in bikinis.
That's right. And then once they reach their destination in Mexico, then
they'll croak, right?
Well, no, they'll stay there for the winter.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they'll overwinter there. And then usually about mid to late March, they'll start to head back up. But then about northern Texas, that's where they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll die.
Oh, okay. So that particular group lasts longer.
Yeah, they're the second longest living insect.
Okay, let's go back to the phone. We have a caller. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hello, my name's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hello to James. James, we've met a few times.
Okay.
Most recently, 2 days ago at Tallgrass Trail, you recommended me to go check out the Beaver Wildlife Area.
Oh, hi. I now recognize you.
Yeah, and I just want to say what a beautiful place that is.
It is.
It's a wonderful place for anyone in town who just wants to, you know, take a break and go for a walk. I mean, right now there are colors everywhere with tall ironweed, stiff-leaved goldenrod.
Compass plant. Yeah.
Giant teasel. I didn't realize teasel.
Yeah,
what is teasel?
A teasel.
Teasel, what is that?
It's just a type of wildflower. It can get about 6 feet tall.
Oh, cool.
A little taller. Compass plant, they can get up to 7 feet tall.
What's the one that goes up and has lots of little leaves all the way up, and then it springs out into tiny little white flowers?
Tiny little white flowers.
Well, I think they're tiny. They're tiny in my yard.
Okay. I'd have to look at a picture.
All right. Never mind. What did you do, Daniel? What did you do to help James out, or did he sucker you into doing something he shouldn't be doing?
Well, I'm retired from Marion Correctional, and I became interested in flowers when I met James at a bird watching program.
He's interesting.
He introduced me to spotted jewelweed, explained the uses of the plant, and he showed me the seed pod and explained if you touch it, it explodes.
Oh,
and that
really?
Fascinated me.
Coils.
And I have been fascinated with primarily wildflowers ever since. However, when I was at Beaver yesterday, James said, make sure you look for big blue stem. And I'm like, what in the world is big blue stem?
It's a type of grass.
He said, it's a grass. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't know it if I saw it. But it turns out I was completely surrounded by it. I had to use an app on my phone to identify it. And I also found some other plants that James recommended.
Some rattlesnake master.
He is an encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to plants and animals.
I love having him on. Yeah, he is good at it. He's getting all embarrassed now. So did you help him do anything, or were you just walking?
I usually see him when I'm just out walking.
Yeah.
One time I was walking the trail, and I seen this guy from far off, and as we got closer, it was James, and he was picking up trash along the trail.
We exchanged
some friendly words, and we both went on our way.
Yeah.
And I just run into them here and there.
That's a never-ending job, picking up that trash along the trail. Pick up your own trash, right? But, you know, the very first time I walked with James, he took us around the Foundation Lake. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
And on my right, I'm walking along, and he said, there's an eagle there. And I looked up, and I thought, well, he'll fly away. That eagle never flew away. It gave me the dirty look until we walked underneath him. And then we got all the way around, and I learned so much. He showed me what coyote scat looked like.
I did, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was kind of interesting.
Well, when I met him at, correct me if I'm wrong, James, I think it was Pleasant Township Park.
Yes, Pleasant Township, yep.
He showed me a glitter tree.
What's a glitter tree?
And it actually has glitter. And he showed me a plant with huge leaves that he said pioneers used as toilet paper.
Oh, well.
He just took me around and showed me all these amazing plants, and he explained their uses and the lore, the history of the plant, It's just fascinating.
Was the toilet paper leaf green?
It was, and good. I don't remember the name of the plant. I'm sure James probably does. And it was huge.
Mullen.
Oh. Well, now, what is this glitter plant?
Oh, autumn olive. It's an invasive plant. If you crush the leaf and you look at your fingers, it kind of looks like glitter. I tease the kids and say, that's where glitter comes from, kids. And then I say to the girls who are in their prom age, I say, well, girls, if you're running out of makeup, I said, just put them around your eyes and the boys will love them.
There you go. Yeah. He's a liar. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, Daniel, and I assume you highly recommend people going out there.
Oh, yeah. Check out our local parks.
It is fun.
They are wonderful. If you love nature, animals, trees, flowers, I mean, every time you go out there, the scenery changes.
Yeah.
I mean, from month to month, you have a whole new crop of wildflowers, for example. It's fascinating, and it's fun.
Have you been out there in the winter, Daniel?
With snow? I have not.
It's kind of neat, too, as long as the snow is not too deep.
There's still always something to see.
Yeah, there is. It's kind of smells and looks different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much, Daniel,
thank you.
For calling in.
All right, and enjoying the show, and
good.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. He takes wonderful pictures.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, and I think he's like me. He just uses his smartphone.
Yeah.
And, sometimes he'll message me and ask me, you know, what things are. And he stumped me on one plant the other day. It was called French grass.
French grass.
Yeah.
Is it marijuana?
No.
From France? Oh, okay.
It's just another, I don't think it's a native wildflower, but... But yeah, he showed it to me, asked me what it was. I was like, I've never seen that plant. And then he looked it up, and by looking at the pictures, I said, yeah, that looks very similar to your reference. So I'm like, yeah, I would call it that.
Well, now he brought up a point that I agree with him absolutely. You are an encyclopedia,
and you're
a young man. How come you learn so much? Is it just that you are that interested in nature that you've learned all that
stuff? I guess so, yeah. Passionate, and then I love, retaining the information, B, I love regurgitating it out to the public, and I try to, you know, make sure everybody can understand it from little kids to adults.
We try not to say regurgitate on the air. Anyway, it's always fun to have you in here. And
it's always something, right?
Yeah, it's always something. And thank you for not minding my daughter-in-law who said you should bring a live snake in.
I'm hoping next month. That's my goal.
Oh, gosh. Well, make sure it's in something so I don't have to touch it. The last live snake I touched was a black snake.
Okay.
And you told me, I thought he was pooping on me. You told me they don't poop. I think it was,
well, they do poop, but when they're first threatened, they do what's called musk, which is kind of a poopy combination.
Oh, okay. Well, he did that on me.
Oh, I've been mussed so many times by snakes.
And that was the last time I touched a snake, and probably would be the last time of my life that I will touch a snake.
I'll have to bring a baby garter. They're only like a couple inches big. And
is that right?
Cute little things.
Oh, yeah. They're adorable. Okay. Now, one of the questions that it has that I'm supposed to ask my naturalist, and I know the answer to this because you've told me once before, are there flying animals in Ohio? Now, okay. I know we have a squirrel, right, that flies?
Not technically flies, well, but it glides.
Glides, yeah. Are there other critters that we have other than birds that glide? Aren't there snakes that kind of spread themselves out and kind of float to the ground?
Not in Ohio, but there are in, like, parts of Florida. Yeah, yeah. Whip snakes, I think, is what they're called, and they kind of glide down to tree to tree.
Kind of get in an S shape so that there's more surface area.
Yeah.
Do we have any others?
Turkeys. It's kind of funny. Turkeys and pheasants, it looks like they're flying, but they don't. They can't fly very far because they're such a heavy bird.
Yeah.
They can escape from point A to point B, but, you know, first is looking at, like, a cardinal or a hummingbird or, you know, a bird like a really truly flies, you know, that turkey only can go maybe 20, 30 yards, or maybe a little more, just depending on if on the wind direction.
Okay.
I think the longest one for a turkey for gliding was almost 2 football fields.
Was it in the Guinness Book of World Records?
You know, I don't know. But
pheasants fly, don't they?
Again, they don't truly fly. They're mainly walkers, and then when they feel threatened, then they'll glide.
Is that right?
To another location.
Well, I think I've seen them fly when hunters are chasing them.
Well, yeah, but again, if you would compare it to a cardinal, hummingbird, woodpecker, eagle versus a turkey and pheasant, you really would see their flight patterns are definitely a lot different.
Well, there's really no comparison to a hummingbird.
They
have, I don't know how many times they flap their little wings.
Yeah, and they're the only ones that can hoover or stand still and backwards.
Back up,
they're the only ones.
We've had several hummingbirds in the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
But they seem to have gone away.
They're still around, but in the next few weeks, usually about mid to late September, that's when you're going to see them starting to migrate as well.
Okay, that brings up another point. My wife told me to ask you, are we still in the process of not putting out bird feeders?
I have not seen any good or bad report with ODNR, so I think as of now they would still like you not to put your bird feeders, bird baths out. And I know that's the problem since we're about to hit migration season. And a lot of people are like, well, I want to help the birds. And don't get me wrong, that is great. But what you can do is if you plant native plants, you know, they're providing the natural food source for those birds.
Well, I think I told you last month when we were talking, I leave my perennials, I let them go to seed.
And that's good.
And they look nasty, but apparently that helps.
Finches, a lot of the house finches, goldfinches will take advantage of that.
I haven't seen many goldfinches this year.
Oh, yeah.
There's an area, there's a lady that has lots of sunflowers in our area, and we always have tons of goldfinches around that. I have not seen very many goldfinches.
Really?
But the other day I was walking down that area, and I saw something really yellow in the bushes, and as I got closer, it didn't move, and it was a goldfinch. And he was kind of looking at me. But goldfinches tend to be kind of skittish and take off quickly. This one didn't take off until I got right next to them.
Sometimes they're like that.
Oh, is that right?
Tree swallows are like that. I mean, they can be as close as you and I, and then they'll finally say, okay, you're too close.
Tree swallows can be mean.
They can. I've been dive bombed before by tree swallows.
Me too. I used to work, the convict center at OU, and they would build their nests under the convocation center. And I'd park there, and you had to be careful when you got out of the car that one of them didn't attack you.
Oh gosh.
They got real close too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do get close.
Now, I don't think any of them ever touched me, but
that's good.
Well, I did tell you about the hawk that attacked me.
Oh yes,
And I haven't been attacked by a hawk lately. That was a couple of years ago.
They're in the woods.
In the woods. The name of the area. All right. Shall we continue on? And thank you for calling in, by the way. If you do want to call in, we got about 15, 16 more minutes. 740-383-9944. All right. What are the biggest predators in our area? What are the most dangerous predators?
I would say probably coyote.
Coyote?
I mean, they're our largest predator of Ohio.
Yeah. There are some black bear, but not around here, right?
No. Northeastern and southeastern Ohio.
And they're really not much of a predator.
No.
They're herbaceous as well. They do both.
Omnivorous.
Omnivorous.
Yeah, and about 90% of their diet is plant matter.
Yeah.
10% is animal matter.
Yeah. Boo-Boo is not a black bear, but he likes berries as well.
Those picnic baskets.
Picnic baskets. Yeah, don't put your picnic basket. That was one of the things when we went through Yellowstone. This was a long time ago. It was about 50 years ago when my father took our family through Yellowstone. It was amazing how many people would take food right out of their picnic basket and give it to them.
That's awful. I hate that.
They must have seen way too many cartoons. I never heard of anybody getting killed by a black bear, but there are grizzly bears in Yellowstone.
And they're more aggressive.
And they will eat you as well as you once you're in your picnic basket.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So you would say the coyote is probably the most significant predator. But they're not really terribly aggressive, are they?
No. There have been, again, some reports in Ohio of coyote attacks on people. Sometimes it happens when it's just small kids. There are sometimes when people are hiking alone. You typically see it about October to about December time.
What are they doing then?
That's when food source is depleting. They're about to start their family groups, their packs. Breeding season is usually in that time frame too. So.
Well, that does that for everybody. Yeah.
See, that's like next month. Well, that's when the good old rut for deer will start.
Next month.
Yeah.
Okay, so be careful while you're on your
roads. And then hunting season begins next month, too.
Yeah. So what we do is we get them all excited to go out while they're running, and then we scare them out in front of the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right. How would you suggest that somebody learns how to identify the singing of a bird? How do you do that?
So there are, especially in today's technology, there's a lot of great programs, there's apps. Of course, YouTube, if you know what the bird is, type it in. iNaturalist is it's a free app through Natural Geographic, and they actually just installed a new program that it has a recorder. And if you upload it, then the person will tell you what it could be. And then ODNR has free CDs. There's one for common birds, warblers, water birds, and owls. So if you really want to get into birding, that's what I highly recommend. That's what I do.
Where would you go to get that?
So you can contact the ODNR. Sometimes we'll do programs. Sometimes we'll offer CDs. That the ODNR gives us. They haven't given us CDs in the last couple of years because it does cost them money to make the CDs and then hand them out. So I'm hoping here soon we can get more CDs and distribute it to people. But when I first started, they gave me a giant box, and I gave it to a lot of individuals.
Now, is this something that they give out, or do you have to buy those?
It's free.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's paid from your hunting and fishing trapping licenses.
So there's good that comes from that. That's excellent. Now, listen to this.
Oh, Cardinal.
Cardinal.
Birdie, girl, pretty girl.
So. Now, I was, got to shut him off. That's my favorite to play out in my backyard because it makes my cardinals go crazy.
Just be careful during the breeding season because, like we were talking about with deer and all, because at that time those males are full of testosterone and they will attack anything. And then when you're trying to call them in, and then if they see their reflection, they're like, oh, that's another male, better chase them out. Then they'll end up hurting themselves or killing themselves by hitting the windows.
So well, my wife doesn't let me do it too much because she says that's being mean to the cardinals.
Yeah.
But we have a pair that's been in our yard for a long time, and I think they've gotten used to me. Now they come and sit close so that they can watch me, but they don't do anything. Whereas when I first started doing that, they would fly very close to me. You know, they'd fly down and kind of look.
Say, who's that good-looking guy?
Yeah, no, they would say, that guy better stop doing that. Yeah, and I did. But I also have blue jays. But, and the blue jays do not like it when I do that.
They're very smart. They're in the corvid family, and they're one of the most intelligent birds in their group or category.
Are they like, I understand the crow is very smart, too.
Crows, ravens, blue jays, but the African gray parrot is the most intelligent bird.
Is that
Those are the ones you can buy in stores, like exotic bird stores.
I've seen them.
And they can do small puzzles, activities like a toddler could do. So.
Well, now, do crows actually remember you?
Yeah, they can do facial recognition.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They've done an experiment. I forget what university, but they had these facial masks, and some of the facial masks, they would do like good behavior, like feeding or what. Others it would be more like not hurting, but I guess you would call harassing.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, shoo, or, you know, basically being mean to the crow. And they would switch the mask on different people, and they have realized that they recognize the one mask that was good and the one mask that was bad.
Huh.
And they will make different calls to their group or their murder, and they'll determine, hey, this is a threat, or hey, this is a good person. So
their group of birds is called a murder.
Yep.
Lovely.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock would have loved that, right? Now, that cardinal that I played for you, it has 10 different calls.
Yes, chickadees can have up to actually 15 different calls.
Wow.
And then just like people, you know how the English accents or sure. English have different accents at different locations? Birds are the same way. So you can have the same species, but it can have a different accent and sound a little bit different. Pitches and tones fluctuate in different areas and different geographic regions.
Well, that was kind of the reason why I asked you how I could learn, because the cardinals, there are 10 different calls, and some of them don't sound like cardinals.
Yes.
They sound different.
Well, and when you're learning your songs and calls, songs are only done by males. The song is more complex, means more different pitches and tones, and it's to A, attract a female, and B, to claim territory. Calls are done by both male and female, so they're simple calls or simple sounds, so it's usually your little chips and
little
purrs, and it's basically communication to one another if they're have young. Threat calls, like the cardinal call, the alarm call, makes a high chip, chip, chip. And when you hear that, it usually means, hey, there's danger around.
Oh, okay. And I have heard that, yeah.
And like Blue Jay, when you hear that, Jay, 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 that's their alarm call.
Oh, okay.
They're saying that.
I've heard both of those, and most of the time that I'm watching my birds out in my backyard, I have my dog with me, and maybe they are afraid of that dog.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. All right. Well, we know more now. And
more
so you say that those recordings are free.
Yeah.
Now, if you would go to like the extension office, or would you have to go to ODNR location?
ODNR, like I said, when I do programs, every once in a while I'll hand out the CDs.
Okay.
So, like I said, my first few years I handed out a bunch, but I'll have to contact the ODNR and see if they'll give me more free CDs.
Yeah, I would love to listen and learn. I've been trying to mimic it, and you do a really good job of mimicking calls. But, boy, I have a hard time mimicking the calls. I was trying to mimic that insect that you told me was
the caedid.
Yeah, and I couldn't mimic that at all. And I think you did for me the sound of the cicada.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you do that for me?
Yes.
And it did sound like a cicada.
Oh, yeah.
If I was a female cicada, I'd have been bothered.
The good old dog day cicada.
Oh, well. All right. Let me see if I have any other questions.
We have time for our calendar.
Oh, yes. Let's do that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I almost went too far. We have a calendar. You still have things going on out there, right?
Yes.
Now, you did end your kiddie walk, right?
Yeah, our kiddos at the park, yep.
Yeah. All right, okay. So go ahead and tell us what we got coming up.
Yes, so September 3rd, we're having a night hike at Tallgrass Trail. It's starting at 9:30 p.m., but this time we will meet at the Her Road parking lot. Please bring a type of light that can produce a red light. It can be a red flashlight, a red headlamp, anything that does not have the white light, because I'll give you a little hint. The white light does little bother our vision, our nighttime vision, but the red light kind of helps him.
Yeah.
September 7th, we're just doing a good old plant walk at Tallgrass Trail starting at 5 o'clock p.m. September 14th, which I bet will be Glenn's favorite program. I love this one. It's called Snakes on a Trail.
I will pass.
This is at Tallgrass Trail at 5.
Is that something to eat, snakes on a trail?
Yeah, we're going to go out and look for snakes on a trail.
Oh, my.
So hopefully by then the weather will start to cool down and we'll see a lot more snakes on there, the garter snakes and brown snakes.
They come out to warm their bellies on the
asphalt.
Black asphalt. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
September 18th, this is going to be an interesting program, but Jonah, I forget what his last name, but he's the young man that, if you saw on social media, he caught the chickens that somebody dropped off. He also came out to one of our outdoor preschool programs, and he brought some of his friends. So he wants to do a kind of a similar program. We're calling it Meet Jonah and Friends. That'll be at 5 o'clock p.m., but he will bring live reptiles and other animals for you to interact with and learn about.
I might miss that one, too.
So, yeah, it's a really good program. September 21st, it's the first day of fall, and we're having our first day of fall hike. That's at Tallgrass Trail at 5 o'clock. And then on September 28th, we're doing the Wonderful World of Paw Paw program. That's at the Paradise Nature Preserve at 5 o'clock p.m. And then on September 25th, as of now, we are going to have our paleontology at the park, or our big dinosaur event.
Oh, that's cool.
So paleontology, if you're not familiar, is about prehistoric animals, dinosaurs, mammoths, saber-toothed tigers, all that jazz. It's from 1 to 5 p.m. Now, please, please keep update on the social media, because obviously with COVID going around, we possibly could cancel it.
Okay.
If things get a lot worse in Marion County. So we just want people to be aware that, A, yes, we are having it, but B, it could be canceled. So.
And it could get rained.
And yes, and it could get rained. So.
Yeah.
But it's geared for all ages. So it's not just for little kids. There's little kid activities. There's stuff for older kids, adults. And if you want to, again, learn about dinosaurs and learn about the Marion Mammoth, that's always a fun discovery we have here in Marion County.
Yeah, I would like to learn about that, and I haven't had a chance to do that. Someday I will be able to get out there, and I'll drag my wife out.
There you go.
We are both being very skittish about the COVID, especially since it's come back. I've found out that I have a little harder time breathing through a KN95 mask than the cheap ones I was buying before. I'm going to wear it anyway. All right, well, excellent. So lots of stuff still going on.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do during the winter when everything's snowed on?
So before COVID, I would go to a lot of the after-school programs in the nursing homes.
Okay.
But since COVID started, do a lot more park maintenance, do more YouTube lesson videos, just stuff like that. And, of course, we do some programming.
You still get paid, though, right?
Oh, yeah, still get paid, yes.
I didn't want you to go broke. I don't have enough extra food to give you any.
That's all right.
Actually, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and he might tell me give all my food away, because if I keep gaining weight, there won't be room for both of us in the studio here. All right. Well, we're down to 3 minutes. We've done the schedule of stuff. Is there anything else I need to cover with you? I'm trying to think if I forgot to do something. I watch you all the time. And by the way, if you want to, there are people that do natural stuff, all different groups.
Yeah.
On Facebook, including one for the Tallgrass Trail, I believe.
Yes.
And then there's one, that person has one where he takes all sorts of pictures. Now, I take a lot of pictures, too. I take it with my Facebook, and I try to post them occasionally. I haven't posted very many lately, but it's kind of fun to get on those groups.
It is.
And there are pictures of critters. Did you see the picture I put on our announcement of today's show?
I did, of that deer. Was that yours?
That deer was in my son's backyard.
All in California?
No. The one that's in Worthington, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And it was a big deer.
It was. I forgot you had a son in Worthington.
Yeah, and I was shocked. They get that deer and his friends, usually female friends, they probably get 5 or 6 of them in their backyard every day.
Do they?
Yeah, and they're right in the middle of Worthington.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Very adaptable.
Yeah, well, they do live in a very wooded area of Worthington. But, it was kind of cool. And we walked over and got close to him, and he didn't move.
Really?
So we decided discretion was the better part of that. So we left him alone.
Yeah.
He was with two girls.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't think we wanted to disturb him. My granddaughter, who is 17 or 18, she was going to walk right up to him. And I said, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm afraid of snakes, but I'm more afraid of having a deer with antlers come at me. So anyway, we're down to our final minute. This has been a great show.
Oh, yes.
I really enjoyed this. I hope these questions that I asked you weren't too off the wall.
No, no. But you should bring some more next
time. Yeah,
month.
I will do that.
I enjoy them.
I enjoy trying to pick your brain and see what you think when you go out there and why in the world you decide to get into that as a business. All right, well, we'll be back, I don't know if next month we have five or four Thursdays, but it's the last Thursday of the month, and we'll have James back on, and you can call in and ask all sorts of questions, and tell him how much you love him when you go out there to the Tallgrass Trail, and say hi, and well, just spend some time in nature, okay? You'll enjoy it, and the critters will enjoy it.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio.